Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so you work at a restaurant. And there's this guy who keeps coming in who is too old for you, but like he's charming and like sort of innocuous, like it's fine. And then you like sort of get into a pattern where like he comes in and like he flirts with you a little bit and you're like, okay, this is fine. And eventually you start delivering food to where he works. And then like there's something there, but you're like, I'm not actually interested in this. Then one day you discover that he has a six-year-old daughter who has cancer and she's gonna die. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
You decide to ask him to marry you so you can help raise the kid.
Here's what I might be on the wrong side of history. It sounds like a him problem. Like I think it's like a sad coincidence that he has a dying daughter, but like
oh my god, Kelly, that is problem. The perfect way of putting it. It is a sad coincidence.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your situation.
You're not even in a relationship with this guy.
Why would you have a boyfriend, sort of.
Wait, so was it just like a race of like who's gonna be the first person to like meet you that has a dying kid that you would then marry? Mm-mm. Like, is that the only thing that determines like if you're gonna marry somebody?
Honestly, so you just never speak to him again because you know whatever, there's nothing there and bummer.
He's gonna come into your restaurant again.
Well, then you just give him some free eggs. I don't know.
Eggs?
Like, I meant I was food, gonna say not maybe your eggs. Oh, my God. Okay, so you give him your free eggs and you go, try again.
Yeah. To replace.
I meant, like, food. Like, you just give him some free food and you're like, I'm sorry about your kid, but the restaurant's my life.
I'm married to the restaurant. Okay, does it change anything if this is how you found out that he has a kid and that she has cancer?
Okay.
Is you are it's Christmas time and so you're like caroling with a group of singers and they're like, okay, the next house that we're going to, like the person who's leading the choir, is like the next house we're going to, there's a kid who has cancer.
So like, you don't find out from him, you find out from your choir mate?
From your choir mate, yeah.
And so this is supposed to change if you marry the person.
Does it change anything? Also, you're in high school. Oops.
I mean, it changes. Oh, wow. God.
What the fuck is this? What is this from?
You're in high school, and you're sort of dating an alien, but it's like been off and on.
Is this some Roswell shit?
Yeah, it is. This is a thing that happens on Roswell. This is the Christmas episode.
Wait,
she doesn't end up marrying him. She just decides in her mind, like, oh, this little girl needs a mom. I could do that. I'll marry him and raise the child.
Okay, here's what I would do. If you really feel like this kid needs a mom and it needs to be me, you tell this man, I will marry you for exactly the amount of time that this kid is alive.
Oh my God.
The second that that kid is in the ground, I'm gone. I'm out the door.
Oh no, but this guess what? An alien just solved the cancer. The kid's going to live a long life.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's a verbal contract, Kelly.
No. Oh, fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? Wait, the alien brings the kid back. So then you're stuck with this fucking guy.
You made the deal.
Mm-hmm. You got to poison that kid. You got to get out of the picture and be like, damn, that alien shit did not take. That's so sad. This is awful.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Oh man. But hey, sometimes at the end of the episode, everything went back to normal.
We're doing sitcom ships today.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Because we're at the end of WandaVision.
I can't believe it's over.
I know. Obviously, we're recording in advance, so like we haven't actually seen it yet.
No, but I'm so excited. We have two episodes to go at this point.
Yes. So at this point, we're incapable of spoiling.
Yeah.
Well, we're incapable of spoiling the end of it, but there are several little spoilers.
I guess
there's
stuff we could spoil.
Are all of us currently watching it?
I am, yes.
Yes.
Colin, are you watching it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
It is good. I had my feelings about the most recent episode, but they are what they are. I hate to say it. I feel like everybody else loved it. I'm alone in the world. But
it was very dwelling on emotional things and not a lot of action.
Here's the thing.
But I loved the emotional things.
I loved the emotional things. I really did. I loved the emotional things. I just personally felt that it took away a lot of the it was Agatha all along. It wasn't Agatha all along.
Yeah. Yes.
I see. I never bought into. I don't think I gave Agatha that much credit coming out of the Agatha All Along song. Yeah.
I assumed that the Agatha All Along song was like Wanda's reaction to a perceived villain in her midst that like her magic spontaneously created that. So like, yeah, she's been there and like being this chaos agent, but isn't necessarily, you know, behind everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's great to watch a show week to week, but I think a show like this almost gives us all too much time to come up with like explanations and theories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you get disappointed with the show for not being the show that you decided.
Right,
and I'm not accusing you of this because this has happened with me like multiple times during this show where like I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Or, oh, I wonder if, what if this really cool thing is going to happen? And then the really cool thing that I invented in my mind doesn't happen. And I was like, oh. This is the story you're telling. Okay.
I actually was not.
You could have fucking mutants here, but fine. Tell your story.
The Pietro debacle.
Like, you could be telling in freaking X-Men prepper, but no, tell the story you want to tell. Fine.
Yeah. I mean, I just felt that it abandoned a format that was really interesting and it kind of made things a little bit too straightforward.
Yeah.
I felt like things could have just been more interesting. And I got to tell you, even though I love Vision, I love her in relationship with Vision. If she ends up getting to be with an alive Vision, I'm like, then you did not tell a story about grief because most people whose loved ones die.
Again, we don't know what's going to happen.
No, we don't.
I think it's going
to
be.
And again, I'm going to get invested. White Vision.
Well, I think White Vision will be less standing and White Vision doesn't love her.
Right.
So she will be left alone.
Hopefully.
And then she can go on her. Because she needs. She settling down is not in the cards for her.
No, I'm sorry. She still has to find herself.
Yeah, she's not done.
But guys, this point, we're speculating.
She has two kids
in a house. Oh, yeah, we're speculating. I'm setting up a thing to be disappointed by.
Well, and also, speculating about an episode that's already been released.
It already happened.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, this is like when we had an episode, like, right before Trump was elected.
I can't talk about it.
It's not going to fucking happen.
Oh, we had so much dreams. Okay, but you know what is comforting in times of stress?
Sitcoms.
as WandaVision explains
to us. Yeah, as Wanda knows.
Wow. Do you guys want to do your ships at the same time?
What if they're the exact same? That'd be insane.
Mine is pretty Mine's a bit of a deep cut. So if it is, it'll mean that you and I are like meant to be friends.
Okay. I don't think it's the same.
Okay. Then let's not try because I don't want to be disappointed. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. Mine is a canon ship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also very not deep cut because it's canon. And it's from the show called Kim's Convenience, and it's Mr. and Mrs. Kim. I don't know if any of you guys watch Kim's Convenience. It's I love it. It's very, like, if you just want, like, funny, it's exactly sitcom-y, right? Like, even though it's single cam, it's still, like, everything. It's just, like, wholesome and sweet and cute, but also funny. And it's about this Korean family, this Korean American family that own a convenience store in Canada. It's a Canadian show, and thus the wholesomeness. And Mr. and Mrs. Kim are the parents of Janet, who is their daughter. And they just run this convenience store, and it's just like their adventures running this convenience store, and it's modern day. But also they're from Korea. So it like it tackles the like immigrant experience and also like the immigrant parents experience, in particular the Asian immigrant parent experience. And I feel like these two characters, the writing of these two characters does a great job of demonstrating the complicated relationship that you have with immigrant parents, where you're like, man, like there's some really backwards shit that you have going on. but at the core, and I think this is maybe, you know, everyone's parents are different as far as like being good or bad people. at the core,
parents
the Kims,
exist on a spectrum.
There is. The Kims are at the core very good people, and they're working to be progressive. And so they're when they're encountered with things that they don't necessarily understand right away, they're like, oh, I'm just learning about it, and like now this is the way the world is, I accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also like, Mrs. Kim is like deeply entrenched at the Korean church that they go to, and she has her own like bullshit with the other church moms. And Mr. Kim is like very like, no, things have to go. It reminds me of the parents in Greek Wedding, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Where it's like, this guy thinks that he's like in control of the family, but like clearly he's absolutely not. And it's the mom who controls everything. So and also and we were talking about this off air, like they're very like, well, why can't you just live with us forever, to the daughter? And she's like, oh, my God, no. So it's very cute. And I really recommend this show. Is it on Netflix? It's on streaming somewhere.
I think it just hit Netflix.
It's good.
It's super cute. It's so funny. I love Mr. Kim because he's Canadian and like woke in the weirdest way.
Yes.
Like he's very like aggressively like first generation, you know, like, oh, stereotypical, I work hard, I did my bootstraps kind of thing, like this is mine, and also everyone is equal and I know how to give the most love to everyone and I want to hug everything. And
yeah, because like, I want to be Mr. Kim, the dad to everybody.
He's such a good dad, except for his son, which is
classic. Because the son, he found out that the son was like stealing from the convenience store. Yeah. And so he like cut him off and was like, I'm never going to talk to you again.
Oh, Jesus.
Does that happen
during the show or is that like?
That's pre. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the daughter is like the quote good one, but it's really that they just like make her live at home, and so she's trying to move out the whole time. She eventually does.
Yeah.
But there's also like just an example of a storyline with them is that their washing machine breaks. Do you remember this storyline, Colin?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their washing machine breaks and Mr. Kim is like, okay, I'll replace it. And Mrs. Kim is like, oh well, I can just get a deal with this guy. And he's like, no, I got it. I can do it. I'm going to do it. But really, he has this plan to like buy a washing machine, put it up for sale at his convenience store so he can create an ad for super cheap so that way he can do price match.
Oh, Jesus.
At another store and demand a refund.
I love
but then he accidentally ends up with two washing machines because the store is like, this serial number is not, is not like from us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you cannot return it. And then so then his son, he finally calls his son. He's like, I need your help. And his son's like, well, why don't we just switch the doors of the washing machines? But like that doesn't work. So it's like they're always getting into like schemes. And I feel like it so accurately portrays like what it's like to have an Asian parent. So I love the show. My mom loves the show and she's my Asian parent. So she, I feel like it is accurate. And I feel like there's someone for everyone to identify with in this show. So I really like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, me too.
It's super fun.
I really like just in Kelly and what you're describing there, that like the dad is trying to like, he's trying to pull a fast one and then like needs the help of his shoplifting son.
Yes. Like, and that's the thing. So cool. He needs his sketchy son.
Yeah.
And then so his son is like helping him. And the whole time they're kind of like, well, I know like what I'm doing. Like they're both refusing to admit that like they really need each other. It's great.
Well, and what he really needs is a classes Mrs. Kim sneak attack. The crafty
Mrs. Kim
one.
Sneak attack, yes.
And he won't, like, he acknowledges Mrs. Kim's famous sneak attacks, but
yes.
He won't admit that she is, like, the crafty schemer. Like, did you see the one where she was having she was having people from the church choir mm-hmm. smuggle back face cream from Korea
because it was illegal. My mom does that kind of shit. She goes to visit her friend in France and smuggles back this special Maggi sauce from France because you can't get the French kind here. Mm-hmm. So she'll bring an extra fucking suitcase,
yeah, dude.
Full of fucking soy sauce back here. And I always get some special soy sauce. I have some in my thing right now in my kitchen.
That's fun, though. I love that.
That's what's up. That's a classic Mrs. Kim sneak
classic
attack.
Mrs. Kim sneak attack.
My ship is also from Kim's Convenience.
What?
Oh my God!
Yes.
Holy.
I also have a character who I relate to, and it is Mr. Chin, the guy who just hangs out in the convenience store.
I love Mr. Chin. And oh, all of the friends, like the ancillary characters are so good.
They're so funny. It's like a lot of like, oh, this is like a funny, like cold open, like have a weirdo mm-hmm. in the store. But then it's like as the seasons go on, it's the same six like weirdos coming to the store over and over again.
Oh, sure.
So they become mm-hmm. like, and one of them is Mr. Chin. He's obsessed with his little dog. What's the name of his dog? Is it Ruby?
I don't remember.
He has a cute little dog that he is in love with. And he's funny. He has this very particular like cadence to all of his jokes
yes.
that makes him really, really good. But I have a ship for Mr. Chin because there's an episode where he's like, you kind of see behind the curtain, like Mr. Chin, he's a horny guy. He wants to get down. He loves the ladies. And I think if he ever were to cross paths sexually with Pastor Nina, they could really get something going.
Pastor Nina. Okay, so Pastor Nina. You need to explain Pastor Nina to Ryan and Patrick.
Yes, so Pastor Nina is the new non-Korean pastor of their church. She's a total babe. Mr. Kim is like a crazy simp for her because it's like which
okay,
I love the episode
right.
where they
yeah no he's simping for her hard he's
he
simping.
Simps for her so
Patrick's
hard but then
out.
You find out
I don't know
out.
If you heard that
oh you're out you don't like simps
he's just mad because he doesn't have any simps right now
it's okay
who tweeted us who wants to simp for Patrick
someone please
So, you know, she's got simps, which I think Mr. Chin would appreciate because it's like a status thing for him.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But no, the episode where they introduce her is really funny because they reveal that Mrs. Kim is simping for the former pastor,
yes.
the male pastor.
And it's so funny because like right before that, Mr. Kim is like, I don't see why you guys like the church so much, like blah, 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 blah. And it's because it's like this, you know, charming, handsome pastor that like Mrs. Kim obviously likes. And then they get this new pastor and all of a sudden he's like very into going to church. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm. And like Mrs. Kim always gives the pastor free gum like when he comes into
yes.
the store.
Oh my God. Yes. And like his tab is so expensive because he just keeps coming in and like getting more free shit.
Mm-hmm. So fun.
That's great. I love that with those two.
I think she's out on the town. She's, you know, in the community. She wants to ingrain herself. She's horny. She's hot. She's down. She's a sexy modern pastor. And I think Mr. Chin would be, you know, right there with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And he would just like, because that's the thing, he would worship her. And not just because she's a, well, I guess that's idolatry.
Yeah, you're not just because she's a pastor.
But that's fun. No, behind closed doors, like that's kind of the thing. And then they have to pray for forgiveness, which is like hot too.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of ancillary characters, Colin, you know that the guy that owns the Indian restaurant?
Yes, I like, love him.
I love him. There's like a part just like so small when he's like, you know, he runs an Indian restaurant and he does a lunch buffet. And he was like, you know, I just love watching these white people fish around in this chicken tikka trying to find a piece of chicken. You really think I'm going to put chicken in a curry for $3.99? You can keep searching and searching, but it is not there. I was like, oh, my God. So good. So, like, that show really, if you just want sweet happiness, watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds nice.
Yeah. Oh, God. There was another moment with him when he was explaining to Mr. Kim why he has to tip. People who like work at the store. He's like, no, I pay for the job that they do. If he wants more money, he should charge more. He's like, you don't understand. Like the waiters at my restaurant, I pay them an unlivable wage, but because of tips, somehow they survive.
It's that thing of like, you can tell that all of it is written from the inside, right? Because like, I can call my mom stingy all I want, right? And it feels like, but if like some white person does it, I'm like, oh, I don't.
Well, you notice how when you posed that question to your three white friends, we were all deathly silent.
Yeah,
I don't know where this is going.
Can she say that? I don't know.
Whatever you say, Kelly.
But there is this, like, it feels like it's written from experience, and it like it is very like, oh my God, like my, like it is just classic. It's like my mom trying to like barter at the fucking Macy's, and I'm like, right. That's not what happens.
Does it work?
No, it gets me slapped in the face in a Macy's.
Whoa, what? Why did you get slapped?
Oh, mother slapped me because I got embarrassed. And I said, I was like, I don't even be grateful and slap me.
Parents really don't like when you're embarrassed of them.
Listen, when you're embarrassed of them,
it creates like rage.
They get filled, well, because then they're embarrassed, but they're like, I will not examine this.
Let's just get out. I will just expel all of these feelings.
Kill the messenger.
Right upon a child that that didn't choose to join the world, that I brought here.
Yes.
Look, if my parents are listening, I've done a lot of work over the last 20 years to love the fact that my mom can return French fries at a Target cafe.
Oh my God, classic. My mom was so proud when she told me that you can return anything out of Vons if you don't like the taste of it.
They're not paying for admit, bullshit.
I think I've been cursed because when I was like, this famous story in my family is that we went to go see Empire Strikes Back when it was released in the theaters. And my mom was driving me and my brother to go. And we're in the car and my mom's like, what if I just came with you? And I looked at her sweatpants.
No,
Ryan.
And I said, in those pants? And for the rest of time, I've been like shamed by my family. It was a very dark story of like how horrible Ryan was. She was but now,
but what?
Since
I mean,
pandemic, I wear sweatpants
all the time. Of course, we all do.
I've been I'm not. God bless people in jeans. That's all I can say. You're
I wear skinny jeans 7 days a week, motherfuckers. I need to maintain a sense of normalcy.
How's that going?
It's great. My legs are a little uncomfortable all the time. It's
look, I'm going to be honest. I did see a video of you doing squats in jeans, and I almost died. I was like, look, he looks great. We're all very proud of him. But the jeans situation, I'm worried.
Here's the thing. That particular pair of jeans is like 78% plastic. Those things stretch to the fucking moon. That's Fias right there. Those aren't like fucking Levi's.
Oh, yeah, Fias Paredes jeans. I remember when you got those. You were so proud.
Oh, I get all my jeans at Fias Paredes.
Yeah.
I still haven't been in there.
It's great. Okay, who else has got a sitcom ship?
I do. Okay, so this is a sitcom ship that I remember as a kid being very invested in and caring a lot and being heartbroken the way it went out. But I think it kind of just taught me that sometimes things don't last forever. And that ship is from a show called Growing Pains. And it's Mike Seaver and Julie Costello. Are you guys familiar?
No.
No.
Okay. So Mike Seaver is in the Growing Pains family. Their deal is it's a bunch of kids, teenagers, and their dad's a psychiatrist, but really he doesn't know what to do with his own kids.
a psychiatrist has problems.
Problems at home.
What?
And then he
tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
I'm listening.
She's a journalist.
Oh my God.
But she like took time off to have a baby at some point, so that's a storyline. But whatever, they're two working parents and three kids. Mike's the oldest, and he's Kirk Cameron. He's very handsome and kind of gets skates on being handsome and charming, like through life.
Mm.
Both on and off the show.
Yes, and then he has a little sister named Carol, who's 3 years younger, who's like type A, high achiever, kind of intense and annoying. And then there's the youngest, Ben, who's a typical youngest, where he's just like wants attention, is the baby of the family, but doesn't really have anything to call his own in terms of personality.
Wow, spoken like a true older sister.
I did kind of pour it on. But so like I loved Mike. I mean, Mike was very mean to Carol in like now as an adult watching, like that's not a nice way to treat your younger sister, but I loved it as a kid. And Mike falls in love with, oh, there's also baby Chrissy. He falls in love with baby Chrissy's nanny.
Oh.
And they have a secret love affair.
Well, she's the nanny?
While she's the nanny.
Oh my God.
How old
no.
is Mike in this scenario?
Mike, is this the time where Mike has moved? I think he's graduated high school. He's moved to an apartment over the garage. And I think he goes to community college and works. Like he's not launched.
Okay.
Partially because he's on a show. There's a sitcom. That in a house.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So they're both like 19. And she might be a little older because she's in college at Columbia at the time. So, but she works as a nanny.
They look so young.
They are so young. And she's like so pretty and nice and smart. And she like put up with Mike's bullshit, but also like made him want to be a better man. And I ate that shit up when I was like eight or whatever. And then this is okay. So then they're at someone else's wedding and he gets like really moved and he's like, I want to marry you.
Mm.
Meanwhile, they are very young.
Yeah.
And he's living in an apartment over his parents' garage. His family is against it, but he's like, no, I love her. I'm going to marry her. So of course I ate all that shit up too. And then he gets cold feet, but he can't tell her. He's just like, because he loves her, but he doesn't think they're ready. So then the day before their wedding, he comes into the family room of Growing Pains. And there's a note from her, and she's left. She tells him over VO, she's already on a plane. She was scared. She loved how sure he was, but she wasn't sure, and she wasn't ready. And she just leaves him.
Well, I mean, it's good when it works out that way, I guess.
Yeah, it's convenient.
Yes. Heartbroken. Then, like the next season, or maybe, then he meets the person who in real life was his wife, and there's a whole thing we could talk about the real life elements of this. But then he's dating this other woman. He takes her to a really fancy restaurant because he's really excited about her. Guess who is his waitress?
No.
Yes. Oh my God.
And they've never spoken. They've never had closure. So then he takes the date home and then he comes back to the restaurant to like finally have a conversation with her. And they essentially are just like, we loved each other. We weren't ready. We both know that now. Like, I wish you the best in life. You know, I loved you. You hurt me. I loved you too. You hurt me too. And
wow,
they have closure. And wow. I remember it so vividly. I ate that shit up. Now, as a grown up, I found out Kirk Cameron had Julie fired because she did sexy pictures.
Oh
and
my
he's
God.
A real piece of shit.
Yeah, he's all religious.
Yeah, and he
shit.
Didn't want to kiss anyone on screen who wasn't his wife.
What?
So they got rid of Julie and brought in his actual wife so that he could kiss her on screen.
This is still true now when he's in movies, is that when he kisses someone in movies, they bring in his wife for the actual kissing.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am not.
That's kind of hot, right? You get a...
What?
I mean...
It's a fun power move, yeah.
It's very, what's his name, not going to dinner with, you know what I mean? Who's that guy?
What?
Mike Pence?
Republican.
Oh, mother?
Mike Pence.
Oh, Mike Pence. Pence.
That Republican.
Mike Pence.
Oh, man. We've come a long way in the last 60 days.
Also, like, having your entire career melted down to that Republican.
I love it.
We should just start referring to all of them that way.
Yeah, that Republican. Yeah.
That Republican.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, are you serious?
Yeah, so in like, now that I know that, it kind of sours.
Yeah, no
like
kidding.
It doesn't feel as artistic a choice.
Mm-mm.
But but as a kid, it was like, because usually in sitcoms, everything works out.
Yeah.
Or someone is like totally the villain. And in this, there really isn't a villain. It's just like they fell in love. They were too young. You know, circumstances got to the point where they had to either get married or break up. And so they had to break up.
Yeah, I've got a silver lining for like the artistic choices of the sitcom. So you're... Mm-hmm. Shitty boss is like, I'm not going to kiss this actor who you've been writing for 6 months. You have to write her off. And then they like come up with a way to make it this like beautiful breakup and this cathartic thing for a young Mogi to learn from and carry on. I think that's nice.
I think it's, yeah, I agree. I think it's the way it came about is really shitty, but I think it's a cool story that you wouldn't normally see in a sitcom.
Well, and so much of like sitcom writing in like later seasons end up being about like who's available for what and like what people actually want to do anyway, that like, you know, the artistic concerns kind of start to get thrown, you know, into more jeopardy and like they just get affected by these real life things. So I think I don't think that ruins it completely, but fuck Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, I mean, and I wish that Julie went on to get her own show called It's Julie. And she had adventures.
Julie's really doing fine.
I mean, her main characteristics were being charmed by Mike Seaver, totally get it, and being a good nanny. So I guess those two things, I thought she was pretty great.
Okay,
so how is she as a waitress?
She was an okay waitress, but she probably should have stayed a nanny.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing with like going on to like another show, because this is, I'm going to transition into my ship here.
Is it Frasier?
No, it is not Frasier.
Salad and scrambled.
Okay, what I'm is listening. There to ship on Frasier? Anyway, moving on.
The dad
Niles
and his
and
dog.
Maris.
Oh, Eddie and you're right.
No, so my ship is Mary and Rhoda from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And I love them together. Like Rhoda is just exactly what Mary needs, because like she's, you know, she started this new job. It's in TV. It's like her boss is a dick, but also like sweet, you know, at the heart of it. And she just needs someone who can like unplug her from that and be like, fuck it, we're just having fun tonight. And like they're just perfect for each other. Like Mary's just high strung enough to like bring Rhoda back down to earth. And Rhoda's just chill enough to like keep Mary's head from exploding.
Oh, I love that.
But, are any of you aware of a made for TV movie from the year 2000 called Mary and Rhoda?
No,
yes. Oh,
I'm
I've
seeing
heard
it
of this.
On.
Oh no,
I Googled it.
Okay,
because I was like, whoa, I did not know it existed.
I also did not know it existed until last night.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. it is a tough watch. But Mary Tyler Moore and Valerie Harper are like, they remain perfect and like are both so fucking funny as those characters. And even though the shit that they go through, and we'll talk about it, the shit that they go through in this reunion movie sucks and is like saccharine and like has, I don't know, like the worldview of it is just like gross and weird. But like they're still very sweet together and I just want to see them spending time together. So the premise is they're both like 60, right? And they're both, or so Mary is was recently married to a congressman. And he died in a climbing accident, a rock climbing accident. So she took 4 months to just like bum around Europe and like try to mourn her way out of it. So she's coming back to New York when the movie starts. Also coming to New York is Rhoda, who was married to this French dude, and they got they recently got divorced. So they're both like you know, newly single and sad about it. And they have daughters. Rhoda's daughter is named Meredith, so like obviously named after Mary, and Mary's daughter is named Rose, obviously named after Rhoda. And they both they have like the sort of cross personalities, like
of course,
right? Rose is she's going to NYU, but she's gonna drop out so she can start doing stand up comedy. And and so like the whole movie is them like getting together, which is sweet, and I like seeing them like in their 60s being like, we've lost everything, but at least we have each other again. But then Mary gets a job at a TV station where she has to produce these like news segments that are like too mean, and her boss is this like you know, early 2000s like media jackass that's like no more nice stories, like everything's got to be mean, everything's got to have teeth, if it bleeds it leads, you know.
Yeah. Finally, like, you're getting to the shippable character.
No, this dude is, it's, his name is like Tristan or Trevor or something like that.
We got to remember him for next Christmas so that yes. Colin can ship him.
Harry Ellis, I got someone I want you to meet.
But so Mary gets put on a story about like two kids in gangs, and like, and the one kid shoots and murders the other kid.
And, Jesus, my God.
Yeah. So this is like what we're dealing with, right? And the guy's like, oh, just tell the juicy bits of the story. Oh, yeah.
Is this Nightcrawler?
Like, it's basically Nightcrawler, except Mary's job is to like, or the job that she puts on herself is to like tell the human story behind it, and like talk to the parents, and like, what would you say to the other kids' parents if you could? As though they couldn't actually talk to the parent. Like, you can.
Yeah.
Well, it would be kind of rude.
A little.
In any event, she saves the day through kindness.
Of course she does. And then she throws her hat in the air.
There's no hat throwing in
there's
this.
There's not one reference to hat throwing.
No one throws. No.
Not even in the like background?
Not even like, I'm going to throw it, but oh no, I'm too cold because I'm 60.
No, none of that. Look, okay.
Shocking. So
an example, I pulled a quote from the movie for like an example of the weird turn it takes. Mary is interviewing the kid that shot the other kid. And the kid says, I stood over that kid and watched the life leave his eyes. I saw God and knew that he would never forgive me. This is from this.
Whoa, all right.
Mary and Rhoda reunion.
This is directed by Zack Snyder.
That's right.
I don't want to see this, but I'm glad you saw it to tell us about it.
Yeah, you don't need to see it. It is all up on YouTube, though.
Okay. So, oh, it is?
Yeah. But I just like it. It is worth it for the first like 20 minutes. You don't have to watch past that, really. Of just like seeing Mary and Rhoda again. And like, it just makes me so sad that like both those actresses are gone now. Yeah. And I just like them so much on the Mary Tyler Moore Show that like it made me like overwhelmingly happy to see them again.
Yeah. It was one last time. That's nice.
And then another hour of movie that you can skip.
Yeah. It's like Endgame.
Wow.
Okay. You just you watch the first 40 minutes to see all your old friends again, and then it's like, oh, what are we doing here?
Colin, you don't see all your old friends again in the first 40 minutes of the Endgame.
You see half your old friends again.
You see half your old friends again, and they're all really sad. Yeah, that's...
So it's like a reverse Endgame.
It's like the opposite of Endgame.
Mary and Rhoda is a reverse Endgame. Colin, do we have any questions from Twitter?
Yes, we have some questions from Twitter.
If you would like your questions read and answered on the show, you can tweet at us. We're at shippledips, that's shipple like nipple, and dips like nips.
This one comes from C. C writes, at shippledips, hey y'all, say you're dating someone for 17 months when they tell you they're moving tomorrow and cannot come back. They confess that they're being chased by a relentless, deadly snail and that they move every 18 months in order to escape it. What do you do?
Okay, this was a question posed to me on my stream. Okay, that's right. So the snail always is coming for you, no matter what, but it moves slowly.
It's like it follows.
Yeah.
Okay, and no matter where you move, it takes it 18 months to get to you?
That's a good question. What if you just
that
move
was
further?
I think that was like a result of the math that we were working out.
Sure, okay.
but like it's always coming for you. And then you, if it touches you, you die.
Mm. It's a bad snail.
Yeah, it's a bad snail.
Is it a powerful snail? Could someone snap on it?
Well, without touching it.
It can't die. I don't think it can die. So it's just like okay. It always is coming for you. It's very slow. And it has all of the like powers of a normal snail, except for that it's like immortal.
How so, big is it? Is it a giant snail? I'm picturing a giant snail.
No, okay. It's snail size.
Okay. So like 2 inches tall?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you recognize it from other snails? Do you just have to avoid all snails?
I think you have to avoid all snails. You don't know that it's which snail is the special snail.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess in terms of the relationship, it's really a question of will you go on the run with someone?
Right.
Because you're not the person who the snail's coming for.
But it's also a very casual run.
Because you're like, look, we don't really have to be real. It's a job.
But you can't you're going to have to sleep far away from the snail.
Yeah.
Because that's 8 hours of not moving.
You can't really like buy a place. You're pretty much you're destined to rent for the rest of your life.
Or buy two houses. Like can you just keep moving back and forth? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just that. Be like a bicoastal family.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not even bicoastal. Like the houses don't need to be that far apart.
That's true.
They could be in the same city. Yeah. So you could sleep if you just sleep every other night, you're essentially paralyzing the snail in between the houses. You just
But the snail could get on a car
each night.
What?
How so the snail this? Could
okay
if it gets
it
on the window.
I thought it wasn't a super powered snail.
No, it's not. So if it gets on a parked car, right?
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying?
Okay,
it gets on a parked car, and then the car goes.
I don't know if this is snail behavior.
Yeah, and also that car, it's not car behavior because that car won't go straight to you, Kelly. That car will go wherever the fuck it's going.
So it's like a hitchhiking snail. I mean, the snail is all it knows is that it needs to get to you.
Right.
Okay.
And it knows where you are, right?
Right. Yes, it knows where you are. So I think it's just like, by any means necessary, within its power, right? It can't fly by itself. But I guess, here's my question. Is it considered a snail superpower for it to know to get on like a plane or something? I think yes.
That's a snail superpower.
That's beyond a snail's capability.
That's like the Mr. Fantastic of snails. Like he's a genius. Yeah.
Like knowing it has to touch you and like how and where you are, like that can be like an animalistic sort of, you know,
that's instinct.
Like how dogs know how to get back to your apartment or whatever.
Yeah, or like how birds migrate.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's
like
just
you
like this
are springtime.
This particular snail has a
Thank
malfunction.
You, Kelly.
Where
I've been simped.
No, I'm not simping you. That's
you
not
said
this.
You are springtime.
You know what? I think we got to give it to Patrick. He's been simped.
Yeah. Well
hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.